Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning and have skyrocketed to season 44. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about season 44, Drop the Four, Keep the Four, Double the Four, episode 8, Don't Get Cocky, Kid.
I added an extra four for eight.
I took surprisingly little notes about this episode, I'm realizing. Before the episode this week, I've talked about crossword puzzles before on here. One of the New York Times crossword puzzles this week had a Survivor clue.
Oh shit.
Let's see if you can figure it out. I don't remember what day it was from, but
I've dropped off my crossword habit. I need to re-up it.
The clue was Survivor host Probst.
That's a hard one. Jake, do you have any like cross letters?
I don't. I did this pretty early on in the clue. It wasn't long enough to fit Cowboy Jeffy, and so then I was stuck. Ooh.
Jeffrey, Mr. Jeff.
It turns out it was just Jeff.
Oh,
Jonathan, I can't remember what a day it was. I was struggling. I was struggling with some across clues so much that it kept making me doubt Jeff. I was like, could he go by another name? Like, what's going on? Like, why are my acrosses not fitting here? But no, I just really had to work through the acrosses.
J's are rough in crosswords.
So. Yeah, and it was the end of a seven-letter clue that had to end in a J. And so I was like, what is going on? This can't be right. What day was it? It was Wednesdays. Oh, the clue that went across to get that J was, or the answer was, hey, Mr. DJ.
Oh.
Yeah, it had weird stuff. So it was like that. And then there was a base staff symbol, which was F clef, which was just kind of a weird one. Just had some weird stuff that I was like, I'm pretty sure Jeff, or I know Jeff is right, but this other stuff seems weird.
I didn't know that that was an F clef. I've always just called it the base clef. Huh. Interesting.
I don't know. So there you go. There's your weekly crossword talk.
I knew New York Times loved Survivor.
I mean, wasn't a deep cut of a clue, so I don't know if they love it.
It's on their mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not New York Times. It just depends on who wrote that puzzle.
No, it's the whole publication. I heard a rumor that Will Shorts changed the other clue. That was actually, it was supposed to be about Jeff Bridges, and he was like, no, I'm on a Survivor kick. I'm making this about Jeff Probst.
The puzzle is written by Joe Deeney, but then they're always edited by Will Shorts, so it is possible Will changed it. Or maybe Joe Deeney's a big fan.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about Survivor. I don't have anything
clever to say to that.
Talk about the episode.
Yeah. Don't get cocky, kid.
Mm-hmm. We start after, we get a decent amount of time after Tribal Council, like the night after, actually. Franny is upset that Matt is gone. She says that he felt like home to her, and it was tough seeing how scared and alone he was.
And then she feels like she's marooned all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Heidi says that she made the decision for the control of vote. Of like controlling how that went to not ruffle any feathers, and she's happy because now it's kind of like there's three Tika and three Ratu, but four Soka, which is who she was originally allied with.
She really didn't want to ruffle any feathers. Do you think it would have been a better move to just not play it?
I think long game probably, like if I'm thinking towards like building a resume, probably not, because everybody knew she had it. Now, not ruffling any feathers doesn't do a whole lot to build your resume either, but it's like you could maybe explain away like why you wanted to keep things like kind of status quo based off of where you were at. But I guess that could also explain why you wouldn't play it. I don't know.
My answer to that question that I had earlier, and so I already thought about it, was I think it would have been worse to not play it because that would have ruffled feathers for like Franny and Danny.
Oh, yeah.
Who wanted to save Matt. So her doing something that kind of looked like she was trying to save Matt, but actually was pretty inconsequential and let Ratu just do their thing, kind of like allowed her to stay in the middle, where if she would have sat by and done nothing, Soka would have been maybe mad at her about that.
Yeah, that's true. I could see that. There's some Carson and Jam Jam talk about how they hold some power because they're viewed as like this weaker tribe in the middle. So like, it's Ratu and Soka battling each other, and they're trying to pick up, like, Tika people in the middle.
Which that turns out to be like the theme of the episode.
Yeah. Kane says his slogan coming out to Survivor was "Don't get cocky, kid."
And that's the name of the episode. At that point, I was like, Kane's fucking going home this episode. I was wrong.
Yeah, I put in my notes, kind of sounds like you're getting cocky. Better be careful.
Which he was getting cocky, but he was not the most cocky this episode. And so he survived.
Yeah. So then we go to the next day. Carolyn's cooking them some shellfish for breakfast. Parsons throwing up in the bushes. And it's made clear it's not because of the shellfish. He was throwing up during the night, like since he woke up.
Sure you were.
He comments that he hasn't been feeling right since the peanut butter and jelly the day before. They get tree mail that tells them they're going to divide into five pairs to compete. And so they kind of do that. Heidi and Jamie immediately are like, we'll work together. And then Carson's like obviously very sick. And so Carolyn kind of takes him. She's like, all right, I'll partner with you, Carson. Lauren and Danny pair up, Franny and Jam Jam, and then Brandon and Kane.
This was intriguing because we saw a similar thing happen in season 43 where they all kind of were like, let's just basically draw rocks and mm-hmm. let's randomize it. So I appreciated the season 44 cast not doing that and choosing to be like, no, we're just going to actually pair up and we're going to like force the issue. It made for more interesting TV because I was like, ooh. There was a point when it was like Danny and Lauren were kind of the last people left and Lauren was like, he probably doesn't want to be with me, but I'm happy to be with him because they'll help me out. But Danny previously has wanted Lauren out of like wanted to vote her out and now he's working with her. So that has led to some interesting pairings.
It wouldn't have surprised me if somebody would have suggested drawing rocks, but Heidi and Jamie were so quickly like, we'll work together, that it didn't leave much room for like other options.
It also wouldn't really surprise me if someone suggested drawing rocks and producer stepped in and said, nope, not allowed.
But that would surprise me. Because we saw them do that last season. So why would they? It wasn't written in the tree mail that they like couldn't. So for producer to step in and add in their own extra rule seems against the show.
I would think that they just like realized that it wasn't as good of TV last season. And so they maybe would like make that an additional rule, but.
Yeah, but they would have written it in the tree mail then, I would have thought.
Yeah, I feel like they probably step in with little bits like that all the time, but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
We head to the challenge where it's in a couple stages that they will work together on, and then a final stage where the pairs will separate and work individually. The first stage, they crawl through a twisted net that we saw last season, and then they dig up planks, and four of the pairs will advance. The second stage, they have to use the planks to cross a rope bridge, which we saw last season as well. And two pairs advance from this to the final stage where they have to brace against walls with their feet on narrow footholds for as long as possible. And last person standing gets immunity.
This is all almost the exact same as the one that Gabler won last season, except for the endurance thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like this twisted net.
Yeah. Apparently, the internet calls it the muddy butthole, which I feel like is a very apt term.
Yeah.
It is, I was telling Kayla, I think other than like Last Gasp where they're like the drowning challenge, this is maybe the most terrifying aspect of Survivor. I like, when I think about maybe I should go on Survivor, I'm like, I couldn't do this.
I don't know. I guess I don't know. I feel like a lot of it is keeping your composure and just like knowing to roll. But like watching it upsets me. Like, I don't like watching people get stuck in this net. I saw so many people post online how they thought like they were so happy and thought it was so funny seeing Carolyn like yelling while she was in the net, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that like upset me so much. It looked like she was like having a panic attack basically in this, and like I found no joy in watching that.
I got no joy in watching Carolyn be stuck. I did have a little bit of joy of watching Carson sickly yelling, come on, Carolyn, you got this. And like having no voice at all and trying to cheer on his teammate, but also like he didn't want to get in that muddy butthole either. And so he was like very half-heartedly cheering her on. That I found entertaining.
That was, yeah. Carolyn and you
stuck was terrible.
Yeah. Cause he had to realize like very quickly in that challenge, like, well, we're the pair that's eliminated. So the longer Carolyn's in here, the better for me because I don't have to crawl in there.
Right. Exactly. Which he did end up having to crawl in just for like the very end, and I was like, don't even try, Carson, don't even try.
Yeah, so Carolyn and Carson are the first out. Through the next section, Franny and Jam Jam and Heidi and Jamie don't make it across the bridge as fast as the other two pairs, and so they are out, and so does Brandon, Kane, Lauren, and Danny in the final stage for the, like the endurance part of this. And Kane drops out, Brandon drops out, Danny says, hey, Jeff, or he just says Jeff, and Jeff goes, Danny, and then Danny farts and laughs, and that is high comedy right there. I did enjoy that moment.
Excellent. Uh-huh. Because I really thought he was going to like make a big deal or like do something. We just recently saw like the Yao Man Dreams car deal. I thought it was going to be something like that. Nope, just a fart.
Yeah, I saw Omer tweeted out like, what are you farting out? Like, you're not eating. Like, there's nothing to fart out anymore. I also saw another post of somebody who thought it would have been like the best thing ever if at the tribal council when Danny goes to play his idol, if he was like, Jeff, I got something, and he stands up and he just farts again.
Oh yeah, that would have been a great callback. I also saw, speaking of the muddy butthole and Omer, I saw Omer say that people calling it a butthole net was a little mammal centric and maybe it was a muddy cloaca, so throwing that out there too.
Yeah, so Danny gets that fart and laugh, but maybe he should have, you know, been focused a little bit more on the challenge because he ended up losing, and so Lauren wins immunity.
I think that if I were Lauren there, I might have actually thrown me off. Like
the fart?
Yes. Like, it just made me chuckle slightly, which would have been enough to, like, make me lose my balance.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah, it was a good move. He just, it's the, I don't know about the foothold challenges. I guess it's a nice balance because we do see so much strength-based stuff that, like, these foothold ones are tough for people with big feet, you know?
Well, and this one is weird because it, like, it ends up becoming, you have a slight foothold, but it's more about, like, pushing your arms against the sides to hold you up. And so there's, like, there's a strength component to that, too. Yeah. I don't think that I love most endurance challenges because it's just, like, who can be in pain the longest? And that feels rough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel as impressive to me when it is just who can deal with pain for so long.
Yeah.
I guess maybe like the other endurance challenges that are like balance or even like strength of like the like the one Gabler one that was like your wrist strength basically to like hold up the to not let the thing unspool, but this one is just like you're in an uncomfortable position, go. It feels less impressive to me. Not to take anything away from Lauren, because props to her, that's amazing. I just am like that, it just feels like more like torture, I guess.
Yeah, I think they added those aspects in to make the challenges not last so long, like in the early seasons when it would be like stand on a pole, that's it, and then it would go like 12 hours. They're like, okay, we got to change this up.
Yeah, I just, yeah, that's fair. Like Franny and Brandon one that was like, stand on the balance beam while holding this thing that can't fall. That also, I feel like, can't last forever, but yeah, still has like a balance skill component to it rather than just a who can handle the most torture.
So with that, we get some time back at camp, just of all 10 people talking to each other.
Lauren wins this and has like a really exciting reaction where she's just like so proud of herself, so obviously like, I never thought that I was gonna win a challenge out here, this is so exciting. She's a teacher and she's like, my kids, like my biological kids and my students are gonna be so proud of me, and she's just like, that excitement is very contagious and cool. And just wanted to shout out Lauren because I preseason really, really liked Lauren and she hasn't gotten very much attention throughout the season. But this was very fun to see of like, she just was, her being so happy and proud of herself was pretty cool. And then we also got to see Danny say that he was sad because Lauren was his target and now she's immune and now he has to rework things. But Danny could have thrown the challenge earlier on and made it so Lauren was not safe, but he chose not to do.
That's true. He got cocky, kid. You know, he probably just figured it didn't matter. He'd beat her in the final leg anyways.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And so with him, he's got to strategize now. And so he's like, hey, let's take out somebody from Ratu. And so he is talking to Kane and Brandon, and he's like, or they suggest Franny. He's like, all right. And I like, my notes are funny here because I thought this was going to be like a smaller amount of people. And so it's like, Kane and Brandon suggest Franny. And then I wrote, they share this with Lauren Carson. Oh, and Jam Jam and Carolyn. Oh, and Jamie and Heidi and Danny. Like, it just goes to everybody. And I was like, what happened to like small time, like strategy talk here? This is just going to everybody.
This is the getting cocky, because they just like, they tell everybody but Franny that the vote is Franny without considering that some people might not want to vote Franny at all. Right. Like, they don't do anything about the fact that people don't want to vote Franny.
Yeah, I was confused by that. I guess they were just so confident that everybody would be like, okay, cool, we got an easy decision. Heidi talks to Danny about allying with Tika to get rid of a Ratu member, which would be like Brandon, Kane, Lauren, kind of Carson. I feel like in most of these talks, Carson is considered a Tika member, but not always, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that he has the, with the swap, he has this like weird, I can be Ratu, but or right. I can be Tika thing. Which Jamie also has between Sokka and Ratu, but it seems like she has like swung full Ratu at this point and like deserted.
So she's full Sokka.
Jamie?
I thought so. I guess that's what Heidi said, because at the beginning of the episode, Heidi was like, there's 3 Tika, 3 Ratu, and 4 Sokka. And the 4 Sokka would be Heidi, Franny, Danny, and Jamie.
No, there's 4 Ratu. That's why they want to get out of Ratu, because they're scared of Ratu.
Who's the 4th Ratu then? Carson? Jamie,
Brandon, Kane, and Lauren.
Lauren?
Those are the original tribal lines before this one.
Right. Okay. I just thought I noted it down differently for what Heidi had said, that she thought that Sokka was 4 strong and there was only 3 Tika and 3 Ratu, basically. Because Heidi and Jamie are allied so closely.
I think it's weird to include Jamie in the Sokka numbers if you're counting Carson and the Tika numbers.
I think she is, because she's including Jamie in it because she's allied so closely with Jamie. So she's including her with herself.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. I feel like with last episode of Jamie so obviously voting out Matt and like being fine with voting out Matt and not even like questioning voting out Matt. And then in this episode also easily voting out Franny, like no matter what Heidi says, Jamie is fighting with the Ratu in this war.
So Heidi suggests to Danny getting rid of a Ratu member, and Danny tells her he has an idol and that they can blindside Brandon. Heidi takes this to Tika to tell them and to Franny. Carson and Jam Jam are worried it might not work. And Heidi shares Danny's idol information with them as a way to like try to convince them. Jam Jam wants to take this to Ratu and maybe blindside Danny. Danny goes to Franny and tells her that he's going to save her. And then Danny finds out that Jam Jam knows about this plan, and he's worried that he will get blindsided and Ratu might vote him out. So just like lots of different things here. But basically, it seems like it's either going to be Franny or a blindside on Brandon or a blindside on Danny.
Yeah.
I feel like... I guess I don't know. I feel like Tika, like nobody was ever talking about voting a Tika person, but it seemed like Danny was talking just fine with the Tika people. Like he seems kind of cool with them. So why did he have to do the idol in the first place? Why not just be like, hey, everybody, let's vote Brandon?
I think that that's kind of the brilliance of like Carson and Jam Jam of they kind of were like,
they wanted him to flush the idol.
They wanted him to flush the idol, but they also probably convinced him, like, okay, so since you have the idol, we're still going to vote against Franny so that, like, we can still get their info and find out who they're targeting in the future. Like, we're with you.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, we're going to make them think we're with them.
Yeah.
And so they are perfectly playing the middle there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I also think that there might have been something of, like, I guess maybe if everybody voted for Brandon, it wouldn't have mattered. But some combination of, like, if they still vote for Franny, then like both sides are kind of splitting the vote a little bit. Like if Brandon decides to, if Brandon finds out that Danny's going to play an idol for Franny and decides to switch the votes for Danny, he's actually only switching four votes because Carson and Jam Jam are still voting for Franny. And so then everybody else voting for Brandon leads it to a tie.
Yeah. I also thought it could potentially just be him thinking ahead and being like, hey, this could be a cool resume builder option.
Yeah, I think that that's part of it. I also think, I think he's playing too hard too fast and he's going to be a target soon because of that. But I also think once he found out that, like, he originally just told Heidi about his idol, and then once he found out that kind of everybody knew about his idol, I think he was like, I don't want this idol anymore. It's going to make me a target, and I want to get rid of it also.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the only reason people know about his idol is because he told them about his idol, right?
He told Heidi, and then Heidi told other people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I think, I mean, he was like, shit, that was a mistake. I need to get rid of this. I think also...
Yeah, but him telling her was to use it. Like, he told her because he was like, we can use this to blindside Brandon. Like, right, he would... So he was planning on using it when he told her. It's not like he told her and then was like, oh, now people know about it. I need to get rid of it.
Yeah, but I think that was before he talked to Tika. So, like, he told her to use it, that he was going to use it when he thought that it was, like, 7-3.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then when he got more votes, he didn't change that plan because he was like, now more people know about my idol, so I still need to use the idol. I think. He also may have realized that, like, people were starting to realize that he had an idol because of, like, Matt telling people that his idol was fake. And so he might have been like, I need to use this idol, and so I'm going to use it to make a big move and get rid of it so that I'm not a target anymore for that reason.
Yeah, so we go to Tribal Council. I don't have a whole lot here other than there's some good camera shots of Franny and Matt kind of making eyes at each other.
Franny has a pretty good analogy. They're all arrows moving towards a target, but they like are all moving towards slightly different targets of like they all have slightly different goals in the game and they're hoping that they can intersect on a single thing, which I thought was cool because it's like, okay, you have certain people that you want to be in Final Tribal Council with and other people have similar plans, and can those plans overlap and intersect, and that's how you want to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Matt also really liked Franny's analogy.
Yeah, and so they talk, they vote. Danny gets up to play his idol on Franny. I really wasn't sure if he was going to play it on himself or on Franny, because there was enough like weirdness happening with like Jam Jam knowing about stuff and maybe wanting to change stuff up that I thought he was going to end up playing on himself. But he played it on Franny, which is good for her, because out of the 10 votes, 6 people voted for Franny, but none of those counted. The other 4 voted for Brandon, which is a votagami, that a 4-0 from a 6-4. That has never happened before.
Well, that's exciting.
The 4 that voted for Brandon were Danny, Franny, and Heidi. So, like, those are the Soka people. Three. And then Carolyn.
Which I think is also a great move that once they figure out who voted who, Carolyn, Carson, and Jam Jam are not all voting together, even though they're working together. I think that was on purpose. So that they don't feel like a united voting block.
Yeah. So with that idol being played, we're really getting down to not a whole lot of stuff active in the game anymore from our huge list we had earlier in the season. At this point, Lauren still has an extra vote. Carolyn has an idol. And then Jamie thinks she has an idol as far as we know. But I feel like we haven't seen that talked about in a while, so I don't know if that's still a thing.
And, oh, no, I'm pretty sure that's still a thing. And did you see anything about secret scenes this week, Chris?
No.
So, I want to show you this secret scene. I need screen sharing though.
You got it.
Here is a scene that focuses on Brandon's fake idol that he's had but never talked about.
Brandon found his like under our product. I wake up and I start looking for firewood, but I'm also looking for idols. First, me and Lauren go out and look, and we are looking everywhere, looking for idly trees, flipping over rocks, and
Franny, the one that I said.
I know, man. I thought I'd have better idol eyes.
I go back out, and I'm looking again, and tucked behind little row of rocks, I see a little piece of parchment, and I'm just thinking, there we go. That's what we needed right now, a little momentum for the Kane Fritzler show. And then I kind of mosey off, and I'm walking down the beach, and I'm thinking, here we go, here we go, here we go. And I open it up.
Congratulations, you found an NBA title with 20 Telehouse, but this is Brandon's fake. Oh, my God.
What a tease. What a dagger. And it was like somebody sat on my birthday cake because I see Brandon's fake. And I go, oh, I knew it was out there. But he never told me where it actually was.
Wow. The game is about to change. Drop. Your fellow castaways will be joining you soon. They're joining us here.
Knowing that we have new castaways coming to the island, I immediately grabbed my fake idol out of my bag, grabbed out the real idol, and I created my own little fake idol. And so I went, I hid it out in the woods, you know, under a couple of rocks, hoping that there was a little wrinkle in the game somehow. You know, maybe somebody pulls an idol and thinks they're safe, and next thing you know, they'll find out that it's...
So I go back, and I want to check with Brandon, because maybe it is real. I don't trust this game. So who knows what Jeff has planned? I threw the walk of shame and go put the fake idol back where I found it. And at least I know that little cubby doesn't have an idol in it. But yeah, it was hilarious.
What was that idol made of? He said he made his own, but it looked like a big, like, it was like a big thing.
Oh, I think when he says he made his own idol, he means like he wrapped up the fake idol to make it look like a real idol.
Oh.
He didn't like actually, that was the, because Kane knew it was Brandon's idol or Brandon's fake idol because he saw Brandon open the birdcage.
Yeah.
That's the fake from the birdcage.
Gotcha.
It does seem like Brandon's fake idol from the birdcage is hidden in the jungle at some point. So that might come up at some point.
Gotcha.
And Kane at least knows about it. So that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be interested to see if it comes up because it was released as a secret scene. That makes me think it won't be, but
yeah, I was debating that too, but then I was like, but maybe they just decided that like they didn't need that for someone else to find it later or something like that. So, or maybe they decided that later they would show a flashback to like this whole thing happening. I'm not sure, but
yeah. We do get a preview for next week on at the end of this episode. Kane says the Brandon move woke him up. Danny's looking for idols. Carolyn is sick of Danny. Jam Jam is mad about someone that wrote his name down. He said something about that, but I couldn't remember. So that must just be a previous vote, right? Who's voted for Jam Jam?
Oh, Kane. I interpreted that to mean Brandon. Like he was talking about like, yeah, fuck yeah, Brandon. We got you because you wrote my name down.
Maybe. Kane also has written Jam Jam's name down in the past. And Lauren. And so it could be about either of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our predictions we made last week were that the episode title would be, Patrick predicted it would be said by Kane, and he was correct there. I feel like I get like an assist on that one, but.
You do a little bit.
I was wrong in guessing Carolyn. And the next boot, we predicted Lauren and Carson, and we were both wrong there. Or like
I was super wrong. We were both pretty wrong. Which I said that Carson was going to be a medevac, and that was very wrong. And you said that it was going to be Lauren, and she was
had immunity.
The one person who was immune. So we were both very wrong there.
Our season long predictions. No big changes there.
Successful idol play. Another successful idol.
Oh, we did have a successful idol play. That's right. We were up to two, which means.
No, we're up to three.
Oh, so Nate is going to be the winner of that prediction because he guessed three. And if it goes higher, he'll be the one that's closest. Yeah. So we need to pick an MVP. We don't have point updates for the other players because the site that we pull that information from has not updated it yet. But we can pick our MVP and then we'll give you a double point update next week.
I'm really conflicted on this MVP. Because I actually think a lot of people made really good moves here.
Okay. I'm ready.
Can I ask you an existential question before I give my answer?
Sure.
Is an MVP the person who was the most valuable player in that episode or the person who, like, set themselves up the best for future episodes?
Oh, it's whatever you want.
Fuck.
I think I said I called somebody an MVP once because they, like, dove into the water fun or something. They did like a backflip into the water. So there's not a lot of rules here. It's like Outback Steakhouse.
Okay. Well, then that makes my decision easy. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Danny.
Danny.
I'm doing it because of the fart.
Oh, I'm doing it because of the idol playing Brandon blindside.
Yeah, no, that was why I was debating him earlier. But then when you talked about the swan dive, I was like, well, the fart pushes it towards him. I was also debating like Carson and Jam Jam, because I think that Danny's move was very good, but was too flashy at the final 10 and is going to fuck him in the long run. Where Carson and Jam Jam had good moves of like very well playing the middle and not being on anyone's radar. And they're setting themselves up very well for the end game. But it was less impressive in this episode. So Danny gets it.
Yeah. Cool. We need to make predictions for next week. The episode title next week is Under the Wing of a Dragon.
Kane.
And the episode after that is going to be called Full Tilt Boogie. That's fun. You're predicting Kane again. Back-to-back Kane? No way.
We had back-to-back Carolyn and back-to-back Matt this season. So it is, I think it's got to be... Who else is going to talk about dragons?
Yeah. Carolyn. And we need to pick our next boot.
Yeah, this is rough for me. Because my final three for a very long time has been Lauren, Jam Jam, and Danny. And so I would like to keep that going. But this episode, it was all about Franny versus Brandon, which happened to be the people that won immunity in the previous episode. And so I think that they're like, I think that this cast maybe is like, I want to target people who are good at challenges quickly, which would mean that Lauren is in danger. And Lauren has also been in danger for being a member of Ratu and for having an extra vote. And so I think Lauren might be the boot next episode, but she's also in my final three. So I'm putting her as both. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to guess Kane. I think maybe it'll be like, hey, Sokka and Tika are like teaming up and they're like, let's get rid of a Ratu person. And Kane might be their choice there because he was close with Brandon. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe Jam Jam will throw his name out because Kane voted for him in the past. Oh, Lauren also voted for Jam Jam in the past. So that could be a reason for that. Who's to say? Who's to say? And it doesn't mess with my final three. So that's another good reason to pick Kane instead of Lauren.
You picked Lauren last week.
Yeah, well... Hindsight's episode 7, my man. Or episode 7 prediction, I guess. Yeah, my final three is going to stay the same. Franny, Lauren, Jam Jam. Patrick's is Lauren, Jam Jam, and Danny. And Nate still has Lauren active. Man, when Lauren goes, that just defeats all three of us.
Yeah.
If Lauren if goes, I guess. Yeah. You got any luxury items this week?
Yes. What was it? I was thinking about it earlier. I had a decision. Omelets. I was out of town in Cincinnati this past weekend, and the hotel I was staying at had a free breakfast that included like a made-to-order omelet bar. And so I had like really excellent omelets on Saturday and Sunday mornings this weekend. And damn, omelets are so good. I love a good omelet. I love eggs, throw in some all sorts of other stuff. My go-to this weekend was sausage, cheddar cheese, tomato and jalapeno. So good.
Westerville Grill near you kind of has a really good tab omelet, turkey, avocado, bacon.
Ooh.
So I don't usually order omelets that much when I go out for breakfast, but I used to go to Westerville Grill like every week, and so I tried like tons of stuff on their menu. Their tab omelet is very good. They also have a great just breakfast sandwich.
All right, man. I love a good omelet.
Mine's gonna be corn dogs.
Ooh.
Love a corn dog.
It's corn.
I'm house sitting for a friend, and I was looking up food that I could get when I was here yesterday. And there's a restaurant near here called Wiener Schnitzel. And they've got corn dogs, and they also have little baby corn dogs that are just like bite size. And I got both.
That's awesome. This is not my luxury item for this week because you brought it a couple weeks ago, but just an update, I guess. Kayla and I have been watching through Jury Duty, and I've been recommending it to everyone that I know. Everyone should be watching Jury Duty. It is excellent. So funny. Laugh out loud funny every single time. Yeah.
I need to finish that still. I'm only through 5 episodes, I think.
I think we're through 6 episodes, but the last 2 dropped on Friday, so we'll finish it in the next day or 2.
Yep. All right, cool. Listeners, let us know whether you've been on jury duty or not. Email us at Travel Council Podcast.
Style of omelet.
travelcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at travelcouncil20. And I think when I brought up jury duty, I asked them to tell us about their jury duty experience already. So I guess I really mean it. So really, you know, get out to us for this episode of Travel Council. This is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.